It's Marketplace Tech for March 21st. I'm Molly Wood in San Francisco, filling in for Ben Johnson. Today in Cupertino, we believe Apple will introduce a new version of the iPhone and a new iPad. For more on this Back to Basics event, I'm joined by Bob O'Donnell, president of Technalysis Research. He's here now to talk about the event. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well. And of course, we are all filled with anticipation for any new iPhone, but especially a smaller, cheaper iPhone. What is going on here?
Well, you know, if you look at the challenges that both Apple and the overall smartphone market are facing, particularly here in the U.S., but even around the world, it's the fact that the market's saturated. And so what you need to do now is do a little bit more specialization to encourage people to upgrade. And I think what we're seeing here with this new smaller iPhone is exactly that. I don't really think it's going to be a cheaper phone in the sense of, you know, really going to attract the low end. It's going to be cheaper than other iPhones, but still expensive, relatively speaking.
And does it appease people who would say, I don't want to have to necessarily get something with much worse specs? I mean, the 5S was still available to them, but it's an old phone.
It is an old phone, and this does bring up the specs on the camera, on the CPU. I'm sure there's going to be additional memory options for higher capacity memory. So all of those things make it a newer device.
Now, some have suggested that this is also an opportunity for Apple to appeal to the emerging markets where cheaper phones, frankly, have been more adopted. Do you think that that's the case?
You know, I don't. And I know there has been a lot of talk about that. But in order to really be attractive to those lower-end markets, they would have to be literally at a quarter or a fifth of the price of other iPhones, and they're just not going to do that. So once you're above a certain price point, you know, and that I think is more like $350, $400, then it doesn't really matter. You know, you can be above that because that lower-end market wants $100 phones or even less.
And it's good for business because they preserve those big, big margins that Apple is so
famous
for.
That's exactly right.
And what else? What else are you expecting out of today's event?
There's going to be a new iPad, and that's going to bring some of the technology of the iPad Pro into the smaller, you know, the traditional size iPad, and rumors of, you know, new watch bands and a couple other accessories for the Apple Watch. So that's primarily it. You never know, right? Apple sometimes does pull off surprises, but given that this is a small event being held on the Apple campus, I don't think there will be.
That's Bob O'Donnell, president of Technalysis Research. Thanks so much for joining me, Bob.
Thanks, Molly.
Now, whatever Apple does say about the FBI today will only fan the flames more for tomorrow, when the company and the FBI meet at a hearing that could determine whether Apple will be forced to unlock the iPhone that's in the middle of a terrorism investigation. We will, of course, be following that on this show and our other programs, so tune in or check marketplace.org for updates. This week, President Obama is in Cuba, the first sitting president to visit that island country in some 90 years, and American tech companies are wasting no time jumping into this brand new market. The internet commerce company Stripe is expanding one of its newest programs there starting today. Stripe Atlas helps companies outside the U.S. incorporate, set up U.S. bank accounts, and start doing business all over the world. But Cuba presents some pretty big challenges to an internet commerce company. Only 4% of Cubans are actually online, and very few have credit cards. So I asked John Collison, president and co-founder of Stripe, what are you thinking here, John?
There's a chicken and egg situation here, right? A large part of the problem has been that U.S. businesses and as a result, kind of lots of other countries, it's been difficult for them to trade with Cuba and to provide service to Cuba. So internet access is low right now. Only around 4% of households have internet. But that's hopefully rapidly going to change. The Cuban government has announced plans for 50% of homes to have broadband by 2020. There's a lot of desire for this. It's a highly educated population of 12 million people. A recent study showed that 70% of people aspire to start a business. We think it's perfect. It won't happen overnight, but we would be very excited to help more Cubans come online and start businesses.
I assume this is a long play. Is Stripe Atlas overall sort of a long play for you?
Stripe is a long play, Stripe Atlas is a long play, and Stripe Atlas in Cuba are all long plays. Stripe overall, we think, you know, our mission and honestly our business model is to grow internet commerce. We want to see more trade and more transactions happening online, more people starting businesses. And honestly, I can't think of a more direct translation and manifestation of that mission statement than, you know, taking people who kind of previously did not really have access to the online economy and giving them the tools to do so.
So talk about how this is going to operate in Cuba specifically. You're partnering with someone there to sort of do outreach?
We are partnering in Havana with Merchise Startup Circle, which is an organization of entrepreneurs and technologists interested in starting businesses. And so they actually held a startup weekend in Havana in November of last year, and we'll be working with them to connect Stripe with local entrepreneurs on the ground.
So what will be the biggest challenges in Cuba specifically and elsewhere? I mean, notwithstanding the 4%. Online rate.
Yeah, Cuba obviously in particular is a special market and has a number of differences. And so it will take time for internet access to spin up. But I think these things, these shifts tend to happen quicker than you think, right? I don't think 10 years ago any of us would really have expected the level of smartphone penetration we see today, not just in the US, but across the world. That shift happened what now feels like overnight. We think Cuba is in a very good position to develop a technology ecosystem by virtue of, one, a large population, highly educated, with good ties to the United States. All that stuff matters. And so as population increases, we expect to do very well.
John Collison, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And that's our show. I'm Molly Wood, and that is Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.